I hope that all of you had a blessed Thanksgiving, and in addition to the family and friends and the food and for some of the football games, there's another tradition that I was reflecting on this week, which occurs every Thanksgiving day. For those of you who get the newspaper, it's the fattest newspaper of the year. I get two of them because I learned a long time ago that when you're preaching, you have to have the Bible in one hand and the media in the other, so that you can keep abreast of things. And so otherwise I wouldn't bother. But I get these two newspapers, and I think they were a foot deep between the two of them. You know, and my sister was there, and she I hate to tell you this, but I've got my Christmas shopping done already. That's my boomie. But my sister hadn't, so I was getting out the ads for her to take home, you know. And as I was looking at them, I began to look more closely. I went through every single ad on Thursday's paper. And there was something missing. No matter how hard I looked, in not one ad did the word Christmas appear. Instead, everything was holiday this and holiday that. Come get your holiday tree. Prepare for the holidays. It used to be that when you went to church at this time of year, preachers would try to remind us to keep Christ in Christmas. As a matter of fact, I have a prop over here. It's a shameless plug for the Knights of Columbus. They're selling these, Keep Christ in Christmas, and they're really cool and they're very inexpensive. But seems like we're fighting the wrong battle. Now we're trying to keep Christmas in Christmas, aren't we? You wouldn't know it was a national holiday anymore. Oh, we have to be politically correct, don't we? We don't want to offend anybody. I don't know who they're trying not to offend, since 96% of all Americans celebrate Christmas, even non-Christians. It's become a secular holiday. What's funny about it is that, of course, the word Christmas comes from the Catholic Church, doesn't it? Christ's Mass. The word holiday also comes from the Catholic Church. It refers to Holy Day. So now we're celebrating 30 Holy Days before Christmas. They've gone from one religious term to the other. How long will it be before they figure this out? The truth is, and I enjoy preparing for Christmas as much as anybody else does, but none of that has virtually anything to do with Christ. So now at least the stores are being honest, aren't they? They're not even pretending that they love Christ or our feast day. They just want us to buy things to exchange for the winter solstice. Maybe it's better that way. Maybe it's time to take back the real holiday. There is in my column, there's an interesting website you might want to look at. I think it's called Naughty and Nice, which companies have banned the word Christmas and which ones have embraced it. It's kind of interesting. Maybe you can register your disapproval in one way or another. I feel the ones that have banished the word Christmas and yet want us to buy from them are intolerant and bigoted against Christianity. You won't find this treatment to any other religion but ours. In today's gospel is kind of like, it seems out of time, doesn't it? I mean, we're getting ready to begin the Advent season next week, and suddenly it's Good Friday. I should be used to it by now. Every 3 years we get this reading. Next year it will be the Last Judgment, which is a much more, in some ways, I won't say it's more appealing, but it is more, seems more fitting. What we get this Sunday is Christ nailed to a cross with everybody reviling him. I prayed about that, and I said, Lord, what is your message to us? And it was as if he said, I want you to tell them about my mercy. My hands, the people of this world, especially the ones in power, in the media, the ones that sell us things, and many politicians, and I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, they use religion for various reasons. They use our Lord, but on the inside, they revile him. Everyone in this story but one reviled Christ. But he's on his cross. His hands are nailed in a position of mercy in this world. It's voluntary on his part. In the next world, his hands will not be tied. This is the time to ask for his mercy. The people of this world who do not love Jesus, they see his hands that never seem to come down on them in judgment. They think either he doesn't exist, or they can do whatever they want, or if there is a God, he is weak. They mistake his inaction for weakness, his mercy. This month, we will have many penance services in Salem and Kaiser, and that is a good thing to do to prepare for Christmas, to take advantage of God's mercy, a free gift, best possible gift you can give God. In thinking about people that revile Christ, another thing I got from this week's newspaper is you may notice that this movie Bella, which I honestly don't know anything about except that it's supposed to be really wholesome, it was held over because the attendance was so good in Salem. Isn't that great? And so that's a good choice. You notice how every Christmas the family movies start to come out? This year, the one that the media is plugging is The Golden Compass. I'm sure some of you have heard of that. And it is based on a trilogy of books. The author that wrote it was trying to write in the tradition of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. You know, there's six of those books. I read them twice, and there was a movie about it a few years ago. Only this author, the one who wrote The Golden Compass, is an atheist. An atheist who hates C.S. Lewis and wrote these to counteract C.S. Lewis, somebody who wants to teach your children that God is evil. You won't find that in the movie, but a lot of people will buy the books. I don't want to give away the ending, but in the last book, the children kill God and call it good. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It seems like every other year we get a hateful book, a hateful movie about God somehow, balanced by good ones. There's this war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. I'm not to say everybody here is in the kingdom of darkness, but once I said, here's the Republicans and here's the Democrats, and about 10 people got up and moved immediately. Where does Christ reign? He reigns on the cross. His kingdom is hidden in this world. From the very beginning, Christ reigned in a hidden kingdom. When he died on the cross, all these people that went by and spat on him and all these other things, when Christ rose from the dead, we have no evidence that he ever appeared to any of them. I've said this before, but I'll tell you, if I had been Jesus, the first thing I would have done is gone to the Pharisees and popped in front of them and went, you know. But he didn't. As far as we know, they went to their graves thinking that they had killed that imposter. He's not going to go to the people that are persecuting him in this world and prove them wrong. They have to find him on their own. Christ reigns right here, in your heart and in mine. When I try to do the will of God, Christ reigns. When I sin, he's not reigning in that area. St. Paul said, he has called us out of the kingdom of darkness, which is this world, where Christ does not reign, into his kingdom of light. We are all subjects of a kingdom that has not yet come. But it begins to reign in our hearts when I am faithful to my prayer time, when I'm faithful to my giving. You know, this anybody who served food or in any way helped with the dinner, I was thinking, those who received the dinners were all Christ. Those who gave the dinners or created them or brought something were also Christ. We were Christ to each other because Christ is hidden inside of all of us. Christ comes when I am selfless, when I think of someone else besides myself. Christ reigns when I accept my cross and love it for the sake of Christ. That is to really reign with Christ. We have a choice. We can be like the one thief, the one who reviled Christ. Many choose that in this world. There are many benefits to those who are willing to revile Christ. They do tend to get ahead in this world. It is true. Loving Christ is not always a ticket to material success or fame. But the other thief, who was also on a cross, was the first to enter the kingdom of heaven after Christ. And so our Lord invites us today to reflect on his kingdom. Does he reign in my heart? Where does he not reign? What might I do to serve Jesus, my King?